Welcome to A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. The same day went Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside, and great multitudes were gathered together unto him, so that he went into a ship and sat, and the whole multitude stood by the shore. And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, Behold, the sower went forth to sow, and when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them. And some fell in stony places where they had no much earth, and forthwith they sprung up, because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. But other fell among good ground, and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. Matthew chapter 13, 1-8. Jesus often taught by parables. A parable is sometimes defined as an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. Actually, it's a presentation of a spiritual truth by illustration by a natural and physical world. And it could be a record of some actual event, or it could be some fictitious one, but something that could actually happen. Now, Jesus taught parables for various reasons. It was an effective way of teaching, to be sure, leading people from the known to the unknown. In this way, Jesus could draw upon the knowledge and understanding that people already had, taking them into a knowledge and understanding of the spiritual message that he was delivering. It attracted attention to his message. It was a way of veiling the truth from those who did not want it, but unveiled the truth to those who sought it. It serves as the key to the door of understanding, opening that door for the truth seeker, locking that door to those who would commit the truth to scorn. And one would be unable to find fault with the natural circumstances presented, and therefore they would be unable to find fault with the spiritual truth that it represented and illustrated. Now in this parable, Jesus calls upon his hearers to picture a farmer sowing seed as it falls into various kinds of places. Some fell by the wayside. That's a hard pathway. The result was that birds came and picked it up and took it away. Some fell into shallow, stony ground, with only a thin layer of soil. It sprang up, but could find no nourishment and could not take root. And under the heat of the sun it withered and it died. Some fell among thorns, and like unto a fence row or amidst weeds. It sprang up, only to be choked to death by the weeds, and it died, failing to bear fruit. But some fell into various good kinds of soil, and it was cultivated. It would have been made ready for the seed, having fertility. The seed penetrated the soil. It brought forth its plant. It bore fruit in varying amounts, depending upon the quality of the soil. Now the simplicity of this story is matched by the profoundness of the spiritual truth that it taught. In Luke chapter 8 and verse 11, it identifies the seed as the Word of God. The soils are the varying kinds of hearts into which the seed of the kingdom is sown. The sowing of the seed is like the teaching of the Word, and the hearing of the Word is like the seed falling into the soil. And anyone who teaches the Word would be a sower, and anyone who heard it would be one of the kinds of soil into which the seed fell. And the parable illustrates the varying reactions people have to the message of salvation. In Matthew 13 we read, When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom, and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which received the seed by the wayside. And then we read, Some that hear the gospel have hearts and consciences so seared, so hardened, that the gospel cannot penetrate. Their minds are closed. Their hearts are prejudiced. They will not see. They will not understand. The truth never makes any impression upon them, is never given the opportunity to germinate and to grow. But the seed does not just remain there. Satan finds a way to take it away, sidetracking one's thinking away from the truth, bringing other interest in a person's life, anything and everything to prevent that word from touching the heart favorably. And herein is a tragedy. The gospel, God's power to salvation, is taken away, and the opportunity for heaven is ignored and removed. The rejection of the word means there's no hope for salvation. But again we read, "But he that received the seed in stony places, the same is he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth. Yet he does not have root in himself, but dureth for a while. For when tribulation and persecution arise because of the word, by and by he is offended." Ah, friend, happy is that person who hears the truth and gladly receives it. His sins are forgiven. He is heaven-bound. There is cause to rejoice. But he has not taken proper account of the cost, possibly, and the hardship and the hazards and the sacrifices that are necessary to being a Christian after becoming one, and lacking in earnestness and lacking determination and resolution and devotion. He takes no route by which to gain the needed strength and to be stabilized. And it's not long before that which was saved is destroyed. There is a forceful refutation of the false doctrine that one cannot fall once he's been saved. That's a false doctrine, and men ought not teach it. This teaches otherwise. Being rooted in truth is as essential as coming to it. Paul prayed that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, he said, if ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which ye have heard. Again he wrote, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Christian living is a process of growth. We're to grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18. Christian living is a matter of adding certain Christ-like qualities to our own lives and our own character. It is often the fault of baptized people to fail to grow. That was the trouble of which the writer of Hebrews chapter 5 was talking about. Sometimes when one begins to realize that it takes work and self-denial and sacrifice and restraint, while he realizes that it often will bring about persecution, he finds it easier to slide back into the ways of sin rather than remaining faithful to the Lord. The heat of the tribulation does come, and because of the lack of growth and the failure to be rooted, the person withers away, and as does a plant under the sun. The only prevention for such a fate is to get the proper spiritual nourishment through study and prayer and worship and service and godly living. There's no shortcut to becoming strong in the Lord. But then again we read, he also that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. Well, we have the same seed, the same sower. The word is received, but is choked out by weeds and thorns. The nourishment and energy that is needful for growth is channeled elsewhere. The person becomes overly concerned and anxious about this life. Materialism invades his heart. Luke says the thorns are the worldly care and riches and the pleasures of this life. Now, all such things are not necessarily evil in themselves, but some things are. But some worldly attention is necessary in the conduct of life, to be sure. But such things must be kept in their place, dear friend, and not to be allowed to become primary in our lives. Paul was sorrowful over the defection of Demas, who loved this present world. In 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 10, he said, "But they that will be rich toward the temptation and snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition." Notice, "For the love of money is the root of all evil, which, while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows." John wrote, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world," and he's talking about the sinful things of the world, "the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever." James said, "Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whoso therefore will be a friend of the world is an enemy of God." But then we read, "But he that receives seed into the ground, the good ground, is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Luke says the good ground is that person who, with an honest and good heart, he's open to conviction. He hears the truth. He wants the truth. He loves the truth. He longs for salvation. He hears the word. He understands it in its application. He believes it. He obeys it. He lives in such a manner as to bring forth good fruit as a Christian according to his ability and as he has opportunity. Now, of course, God does not expect everyone to produce just exactly alike. Each one of us differ in that respect, do we not? But we all have our individual traits, and we all have our individual talents and abilities and opportunities. What God does expect is that we do what we're capable of doing. And this kind of person is the kind that builds churches, will lead to the salvation of many souls, will put the Lord first in their life, that will rear his family God's way. He'll bring glory to God because of the good life that he lives. Now, this is one of the many parables that Jesus taught. I suppose that this is one of the more familiar of the parables that Jesus taught. This parable of the sower, sometimes called the parable of the soil. This parable teaches that the seed of the kingdom, the word of God, falls into different kinds of hearts, and it produces different kind of reactions. Some were happy to receive it, but they let it go by. They let the things of this world choke it out of their lives. They do not grow, and they are not faithful. Friend, we come to the Lord by obeying his gospel. And the gospel teaches that we must believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. There's no salvation apart from that faith. Jesus said, "Except ye believe that I am he, ye shall die in your sin." John 8:24. But the Lord also taught the necessity of repentance. "Except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish." Luke 13:3. And then our Lord says, "Those that confess him, he'll confess before the Father in heaven." We're saved by our confession of Christ. Romans 10:9-10. And did you know, the same Lord that taught faith, the same Lord that taught repentance, the same Lord that taught confession, that same Lord said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." How dare preachers come along and say, "Well, we'll just accept part of what the Lord said, and we'll be saved anyway." We would persuade you to simply humble yourself and obey the gospel as Christ has taught it. Now, this has been A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.